My guest says 4,000 people were healed in 4 weeks. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello. I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. And I just got in the mail yesterday. I mean, talk about something supernatural. Let me read this to you. It's the letter. It says, Dear Sid, and it's talking about my guest, Randy Clark. And I had him on my radio show. It says, when Randy mentioned my name, Phyllis, on the radio and said that I had a real problem with my right rotator cuff and my tricep muscle, I was healed when he prayed. You said this woman's name, Phyllis. You didn't say the left rotator, you said the right rotator. I mean, that wasn't guessing, that was accurate. Just out of curiosity, how does this work? How do you know someone's name and know what's wrong with them, and then, better than all that, they're healed?
Well, that particular one was an impression, and that's why it so kind of scared me, because I know and I have friends who, that's the way they get supernatural impressions that lead to healing. But for me, an impression is not, that hasn't happened a lot. So when that happened that day, I knew, you know, this is the way other people get them, because I always feel them. Most 99% of the words of knowledge I have are when I get something like that, I feel the pain in my body. And so this was just an impression.
Give me an example of a real person that was healed, that you felt the pain in your body, and then that person was healed.
Well, several years ago, when I was working frying donuts, training people how to fry donuts, and I talked to the head bakery clerk, and she had something wrong with her. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And she said, yeah. And when I did, she was healed. But then a few minutes later, I was working, and my ears clogged up. Her ears, she had trouble for hearing. And my ears just clogged up, and I couldn't hear hardly anything. And I said, does that come back? And she said, yeah. And I prayed again, and it left. It was just like a spirit that was a demonic spirit afflicting her, causing that particular illness. Some illnesses, biological or physiological, some is psychosomatic, and some is demonic in its origin.
Now, thousands and thousands of people have been healed through words of knowledge, and that you've witnessed this thing. Do you take it for granted, or how do you feel when someone is healed with all these thousands of people that have been healed before that you've prayed with?
Well, I never take it for granted, and I always get excited about it. And I don't want to get to the point that I become jaded, it takes more for me to be excited than it used to. I think that would be, I don't think that'd be very appreciative of what God would be doing. So I get excited, especially if a deaf ears open or blind eyes see or tumor disappears. That's when I get most excited.
Well, I'm going to believe that you're going to be excited, because I believe that something good is going to happen right where you are right now. You see, God knows you. He knows you by name. Randy, you told me that your grandmother had something wonderful happen to her that has affected you even to this day.
Yeah, my grandmother is, when she was younger, when she's illiterate, and my grandfather had gotten her pregnant while he's married to another woman, and she wasn't a Christian, and then he was a womanizing, wife-beating alcoholic, I don't know how she came to the Lord, but then she gave her life to God, and then she heard a voice in the bedroom say, go in the other bedroom and pray, and she had a large goiter on her neck, and I'll heal you. So she went in the other bedroom and she began to pray, just having come to God, just discovered him like a few weeks before. And she said, I felt like a hot hand go down my throat, and it vanished like that. Now, what was the result of that? It so touched my grandfather that he went to church, and he and my dad both the same night knelt at an altar and gave their life to God. And it changed him. He never touched my grandmother in anger again, never touched another woman in unfaithfulness again, and never touched another drop of alcohol in his life.
So your grandmother had one of these big goiters coming out. And I know people that have these things and they have surgeries to try to remove them today. But you're saying just instantly it disappeared. What effect did this have on you?
Well, I was 5 years old when she told me that, and it created an interest in me in healing. And I've always been interested in healing ever since then.
But at age 18, you almost lost your life.
Yes, I was almost killed in a car wreck. And from that, I had paralysis in my digestive system, and my back, the vertebrae in the middle of my back were compressed 20%, had severe pain, 50 milligram of Demerol every 3 hours, and most of the bones in my face were crushed. Three places in my head, hairline were, and these were all broken here, and this like a washboard. And God healed me through prayer. And
when you say God healed you through prayer, with medical science what it is, couldn't you have just been healed through medical science?
Well, to me, the timing is what makes it interesting.
What do you mean?
Well, they were going to send me to another hospital, a large city, to be operated on and to have some other work done because of the digestive system not working. And the night before I was to be sent to this other hospital, my church prayed for me, and when they came in and checked me the next day, I wasn't paralyzed anymore.
And did the doctor say this is highly unusual?
No, I don't know what the doctor said. They expected I'd be in the hospital 7 to 11 weeks, and I was in 20 days. And I would have been out in 15, but they wouldn't release me until they could get a brace for me, for my back. And I would wear it, and I'd take it off when Mom wasn't around, because I knew God had healed me. And so all the pain just left, and God healed me.
You know, in my notes, I find this hard to believe. It's medically impossible. There was a woman with Parkinson's disease. What percentage of her brain cells were dead?
Well, you know, I don't remember now if it's 800,000 or 800 million that's in this one area of the gray matter of the brain that Parkinson particularly affects. But I remember it's 800 million or 800,000. And she had only 50,000 or 50 million left. So that's the percentage proportionately. She losing control of her bladder, her bowels. She couldn't walk without the aid of her husband. She couldn't remember a name, a telephone number. She'd never held her 2-year-old grandson. And God instantly healed her in just in a matter of probably 10 or 15 minutes.
I mean, how did she react? I mean, and when you say instantly healed, how did you know she was healed?
Well, I didn't know at first because I didn't know really what Parkinson's was. I saw her shaking. She shook literally like this. And God had told her if I'd pray for her. And she didn't know who I was, never heard of me or anything. And she'd be healed. And so I reached out to touch her. And when I did, God knocked her on the floor. And then I just went on. But then I couldn't.
Wait a second. Hold that thought. God knocked her on the floor. We'll come back. Brain cells that weren't there are all of a sudden there. You know something? All things are possible. I'm glad that you're watching right now. Be right back after this. Hello, YouTube. Mishpacha. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I left you on the edge of your seat. What happens when someone has Parkinson's disease and somehow they know they're going to be healed? I mean, most of their brain cells are destroyed. They're shaking all over. So what happened to this woman, Randy Clark?
Well, when God knocked her on the floor.
When you say God knocked her on the floor, explain exactly what you mean by that.
Well, I was going to say, I normally start to pray, I start saying, like, come, Holy Spirit. So I got come out, and boom, she just fell over, backwards in the floor.
What pushed her?
Nothing. I mean, this is the Spirit of God's presence. The presence of God is like a weight, and it just pushes you down. So I went on to pray for somebody else, but I couldn't get her out of my mind, so I went and asked her husband what Parkinson's was. He told me, and I was been asking God. I'd been fasting for, that was like 23rd day of a 40-day fast, asking for the healing anointing to move into us, creative miracles. So I said, she doesn't need a miracle healing, she needs a creative miracle. He said, yeah. So I went down, put my hand on her head. I remember I prayed, God, I got a gift of faith or something. Mm-hmm. I said, I ask you for 800,000 new brain cells. And when I did that, she started screaming on the floor and said, oh, stop, stop. And she's screaming, it hurts, my head is killing me, stop praying. I didn't really know what to do then. They didn't teach me in Bible school or seminary what to do in that situation. So I just remember, I said, God, don't listen to her prayer, listen to mine more. And then she instantly was stopped screaming, and I whispered in her ear what's happening. She said, I don't hear anything. There's a lot of noise going on. I don't feel anything. I just know you're here, and Jesus is here, and Elvis is here, which is her husband's name. And then she started doing all these tests that she couldn't do. You know, she could.
Was she shaking?
She stopped shaking. As soon as she hit the floor, she stopped shaking. Hmm. And then she started doing this, you know, which was a test for Parkinson. And then she drank water, but she had lost the ability to drink water from a cup. She had to sip it through a straw. And then she got up on the stage and squeezed her husband's hand, and she started talking about all the money they spent on medication, and she needed to be in a nursing home, they couldn't afford it. And then she went and played the piano and started singing, He Touched Me. And that just brought the house down. And made, you know, He touched me, and now I know He's touched me and made me whole.
So the latest scoop is there is a cure for Parkinson's disease, and he has a name. His name is the Messiah, Jesus. Now, we are told that there are certain messianic miracles, that the only way we'll know whether the Messiah has come is if these miracles occur. Now, one of the miracles is someone that is born blind gets their sight back. Another miracle is someone that was born deaf all of a sudden can hear. Now, Randy, in the Messiah's name, in Jesus' name, you have seen these things happen. Tell me about them.
Well, last year we saw 3 people born deaf and 30 people deaf in one or both ears get their hearing back. The first one was a young woman in Medellin, Colombia, in her 20s, and her sister was interpreting through sign language, and that's how we communicated with her. And it took about 2 hours of prayer, and it just kept. She felt heat in her ears, and just kept getting better. And I'd do this, and then I'd have her behind her, raise her hand, water, which one she could. And I'd get farther out like that. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I realized that, you know, she's at the point she's getting ready to hear. And I through the sign language through her sister, she doesn't know words yet. She doesn't know language, and I understood that. And so I said, the next sound you hear will be your mother calling your name. And then I told her mother to call her name. And when she heard it, the girl just began to smile, and tears ran down her face. And there was a bunch of people watching, and a lot of young people in the place, in this church we were at. And like most people there, was under 25 years old. And they all started calling her name, and she'd point to them, you know, whoever called her name. That was the first. And then we saw a young girl in Korea that was about 7 in a Methodist church who was born deaf and get her hearing. And a young guy who traveled with me, he was 20, he was 19 actually, he's praying for her. And then the last one, we were in Londrina, Brazil, and it was in the fall, September, or October, I believe, and we saw that teenager get healed. It took 3 nights for her, though. She came each night, we prayed, and it got better every night.
Now, sometimes you see more miracles than others. For instance, in Argentina and Brazil, in a 4-week period, you saw, was it 4,000 miracles?
Yeah.
Why there? Why not New York City or Chicago?
Well, I think part of the reason is that there's a greater need there, in a sense that they don't have the medical insurance for these. A lot of these were poor people. Mm-hmm. They are not as skeptical to start with as North Americans and Western Europeans are, basically, and particularly Brazil. 90% of the people in Brazil have been to spiritualist healers, which is kind of a demonic healing. And so they are aware of the spiritual realm much more than we are. We're much more secular, though that's changing in our society right now. So I think that's one reason. And I think there are countries that's just in revival, and Brazil is going into becoming one of those, and Argentina has been. And so in the midst of that, there are just these visitations of God that when they happen, there's just miracles. A lot of miracles that happen.
You know, some sickness is caused by evil spirits.
Yes.
And in Argentina in particular, Tell me things that you have seen or heard in reference to the demonic.
Well, one of the main evangelists there is gifted in deliverance. His name is Carlos Anacondia. And he has a sixth grade education. He's a very wealthy businessman, owns his own factory and everything. And God uses him. When the anointing of God came on him, he could just walk by people and they would fall out and begin to manifest like they go into an epileptic fit, but it wasn't epilepsy. But it looked something like that. It was actually demonic. And it just happened in his life, and it was so strong he could be preaching. If you heard him on the radio, on the PA system, but the bus drove up and stopped, people on that bus would start manifesting demonically.
When you say manifesting, explain what you mean.
Well, they would begin like going into an anxiety attack or begin to be thrown to the ground, begin to thrash, begin to...
But more important than even the manifestation is, can these people be set free?
And they'd take them to the deliverance tent and take the bus driver, honk the horn, and go get them, take them to the deliverance tent, get them delivered, and then they would be back on the sidewalk, catch another bus, go home.
I want to find out how Randy got this wonderful gift, because I believe that God has a gift for you. During this telecast, we'll be back in just a moment. As a matter of fact, I want to find out who's on next week. You think this is good? Wait till you see who's on next week. Janie, who's our guest?
Sid, you were talking about people who were deaf and then can hear. Well, have you ever seen a person who was deaf and just start hearing that was born deaf?
Have you, Randy?
Yes. These three were born deaf that I just told you about.
Right. Well, Randy has.
Well, next week, we're going to be interviewing a woman by the name of Robin Harfouch, and she saw the darker side of the supernatural. But then her whole life was totally changed, and then she started seeing miracles. And she married a man where Robin and this man pray for the sick and the healed. But you're going to see actual footage of two women who were born deaf, and right before your eyes, they begin to hear. It's amazing.
It is amazing. I love miracles. I'm like you, Randy, but you pursued this.
Yes.
Went after this. Explain how you pursued this gift.
Well, one is if you are healed yourself, you're going to be a believer in healing. And that was like the anchor for me. Then through school, I would always try to specialize in the courses dealing with the Holy Spirit or in college and seminary. And then when I graduated, I just kept always wanting to be around people who I could meet who moved in this. And I'd read all the books about the healing evangelists and try to get old videos and watch them. But then there was also a time of fasting and prayer at different periods of my life, particularly in 1995. There was a major time of pressing in for this breakthrough in healing. And I think it was the timing of God, too. And we saw more healings in January 95 than I'd seen the first 25 years of ministry put
now,
together.
You went to a church near the airport. It's called the Airport Church in Toronto, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And since you've been there, how many people have gone through their doors and been touched by the Spirit of God?
Well, about 6 months ago, there's over 3 million that had been
there. Did you hear that? 3 million people. He went and sparked something because he was so hungry for the supernatural of God. Did you have any idea that you would start something like that there in Toronto, which is people come from, not just from Canada, they come from all over the world?
Well, I didn't have any idea about how big it would be, but I did have an idea 24 hours before I got there that something major was going to happen. Because up to that point, I was afraid that God wouldn't use me. And if I said, come Holy Spirit, he might come, he might not come. And so I was very timid and actually anxious about going. But the night before I left at 10 o'clock, I got a prophetic word. And I didn't even like prophecy at the time. I didn't know what I thought about it. That changed my life. And it's continued to have the effects of it. And it was basically this. At 10 o'clock at night, a guy calls me that God had used over 10 years to actually give me money when I needed it without me ever saying a word to him, which got my attention.
Right.
You know,
get anyone's attention.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I needed $1,000, sometimes two, and one, $10,000 he sent me. And I never called him, sent him a newsletter or anything.
But you had the need, and he
And God would
heard.
Talk to him and tell him, send Randy this much money. So, and he asked me once, if God hadn't done that, could I believe what he told me? I said, no, I couldn't have. But God had spent 10 years building this relationship of just this.
So what did he tell you?
He said, the Lord says, test me now, test me now, test me now. Do not be afraid. I will back you up. I want your eyes to be open to see my resources for you in the heavenlies, even as Elijah prayed that Gehazi's eyes would be open. And do not become anxious, because when you become anxious, you can't hear me. That was the word.
And what happened in Toronto that sparked it? What actually occurred when you were there?
Well, there was people would fall, they would cry, they would laugh, they would get drunk on a spirit of God, inebriated on it. And I'd see men carry their wives out, and men have to carry other men out. And some people would fall and couldn't get up for 2 or 3, 4 hours.
But what would happen to these people when they were touched by the Spirit of God in this way?
Well, many of them, God really began to use them. There's many stories of people who came into a meeting and they went back to their country, and then God would use them to actually birth this movement in their country, in their church. Some people got healed while they were out. The first 2 or 3 weeks, there were a few healings, but not a lot. The healing started the next year, a year later, in 95 of January, when there was a major increase of healing.
Now, you went to a little radio station, I believe it was in Melbourne, Florida.
That was in Vero Beach.
I was in Melbourne
when it happened.
Okay. You went to Vero Beach, a little radio station, and you're just being you. And what happened on that station?
Well, the general manager, he wanted to interview me because he thought I was too controversial for let somebody else do it. And as he's interviewing me, I look over his shoulder. There's one of his men that's shaking like this.
Because the Spirit of God.
Spirit of God's on him. And he doesn't know it. And so on commercial break, I said, you know, the God's on your guy here. Instead of us talking about it, let's just do it. I said, why don't you come over here? And this other guy, pray for him right now. He did, and he fell on the floor and started shaking violently. And then commercial breaks over, and this is live radio. And so he's trying to do the interview, but he can't do it now.
Because he's shaking.
Because this guy is shaking on the floor. So he basically just tells everybody what's happening and asks me to pray. We begin to pray for people over the radio, and I've never had this happen before or since then, but people began to weep as they heard the radio station. They'd be flipping through and get stuck on it, and they'd flip back to it. And some people, one guy's driving a Coca-Cola truck as his job. He started shaking so violently he had to drive the truck back to the base, whatever it is, and go home, and he shook all day. And people's crying, and the numbers of people, there's people getting healed. And the numbers of people who came, the attendance basically was 50% more that night. Interestingly, when I left, because they asked me to pray for everybody, and everybody we prayed for just fell to the floor.
Now, these were people that didn't believe that God's Spirit could do something like that. That was what was so amazing.
Some of them didn't. Yeah. You know, some did believe, but they'd never seen it.
Right.
Others didn't believe in it, and they were on the floor. So, and these were young guys, and they had never done anything like this. And the general manager gets up. I'd already left. And he says, he just told him what's happening on the radio. It was live. And he said, if you'd like to come to the radio station, come to the radio station. We'll pray for you.
Randy, right now, I want you to pray for the people that are viewing, because there are desperate needs there. Desperate. Would you pray for them right now?
Yeah, I will, Sid. But first, I want to mention, there's an Edith. And Edith has multiple sclerosis. And the toe next to her big toe on her left foot in the top joint really pains her. And maybe I don't know if that's how it started or if that's where it is now, but her name's Edith. So I want to pray for her and then pray for others.
Do that.
Father, in the name of Jesus, show yourself strong. Lord, may people come to believe in him, even as he himself said. He was not ashamed of his miracles. He said, if you can't believe in me because of what I've said, then believe in me and because of what I have done. And so, Lord, we declare that Jesus is the Messiah and that he's the fulfillment of Isaiah 61:1. In his name, the blind see, the deaf hear. And God, we ask that you would cause ears to open now, that you'd cause blind eyes to see. Lord, you'd heal Edith of the multiple sclerosis. God, that the power would go through her spine and in her brain. And Lord, the lesions would just be dematerialized. It's on her spinal cord. And Lord, we pray for healing of others who have multiple sclerosis.
Randy, there is such a presence of God right now. Such a wonderful presence of God that all things, something's popping in someone's ear. But even if it wasn't mentioned, I'm saying that the healing presence of God is pouring through your television set right now. It's pouring through anything you need in Jesus' name. Begin to thank God that it's done. He's not a respecter of persons. You are whole. I said whole in the name of Jesus. This is your time right now.